why would you bring in this many people in such a short period against the law?
I'm a big believer in immigration, but to have unvetted immigration at large scale is a recipe for disaster.
Let me walk you through the past 7 days in Europe.
Red roses too, I see them bloom for me and for you.
In London, 4 people were stabbed in a time span of just 42 hours.
What a wonderful world.
In Paris, hundreds of Afghan migrants took to the street to riot.
I see friends shaking hands, saying, how do you do? They're really saying, I love you.
We are paying for our own destruction.
And I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
And that, ladies and gentlemen, is just a few incidents in just a couple of days on our beautiful continent.
And it's happening for political reasons. It's happening because the Democratic Party has ceased making the case for itself to Americans. And so in order to keep power, in fact, to expand their power, they're going to need a brand new electorate. And this is their electorate.
Here we stand, and here we fall. History won't care at all.
Amsterdam currently consists of 56% migrants. The Hague, 58% migrants. Rotterdam, almost 60% migrants. Conclusion, the Dutch population is already outnumbered in the majority of our cities.
We're just waiting for the hammer to fall.
London, 54% migrants. Again, conclusion, native population outnumbered. And what's interesting about replacement is that the establishment will either deny its existence.
A totalitarian state is ruled by the lie, and the lie is the principle of governance, and everyone who lies is complicit in maintenance of the state.
The so-called replacement theory is obviously racist, dangerous, and dehumanizing, bigoted, dehumanizing, and dangerous. Just think about how dumb and dehumanizing it is. Deeply racist, bigoted, and dehumanizing. It's also incredibly stupid.
British talkers are generally slow thinkers.
Or, when they admit to it, they say that it's a good thing.
Fewer than 50% of the people in America will be white European stock. That's not a bad thing. That's a source of our strength.
There is not going to be a nation that will not see diversity in its future.
By now, I think we all know what they mean with the word diversity. It means less white people, less of you.
You know the truth can be a weapon to fight this world of ill intentions.
We want, 2 million people every year pouring into the country, because if we send them down to a Democrat state, it means that we get more apportionment in the House.
And everyone's been like, well, illegals can't vote. What's the problem? No, this is the end game.
Undocumented immigrants cannot vote in federal elections, so how is that possible?
If you look at the apportionment with and without illegals, there would be a net loss of blue states of approximately 20 seats in the House.
And once they have more apportionment in the House, you can bet your bottom dollar they will use that extra large apportionment to give these illegal aliens voting rights. Just watch it happen.
New answer to the same question. How many times will you learn the same lesson?
It's illegal, you say, for illegal aliens to vote in a federal election. Well, actually, it's not. Congress passed something in the U.S. code, the federal code, a line that, unbeknownst to the rest of us, makes it legal for illegal aliens to vote in federal elections if they believe they are citizens. It's a state of mind.
Title 18 left us just gobsmacked. Scroll all the way down to the fine print, and what you read is that non-citizens can vote without penalty if, at the time they are voting, they believe themselves to be U.S. citizens.
It's been sold out for a while. It is pure deep earth crystal iodine. It's so hard to make. You've got to have DEA approved labs to do it. And it takes months and months to break it down in this special patented process. Nobody else has true nascent iodine. They put it on the label, but it's still bound to other elements and it's not fully absorbable by the cells. It's the missing link. Even the UN estimates 2+ billion people have cognitive disabilities because of iodine deficiency. Up until the 30s, we had major IQ reduction because of lack of iodine in the U.S. food supply. Especially in the U.S. Midwest. From the 30s to the early 80s, the government put crappy iodine in the salt by law. And IQs went up 15 points on average. Burnt effects went way down. Then in the early 80s, they took it out again. This is the deep earth crystal, pure, meaning atomic, on the atomic table. And it goes into the cells at a cellular level. Survival Shield X2, now available 25% off. InfoWarsStore.com. 5-star review. Or call toll-free 888-253-3139.
You thought the leaden winter would bring you down forever, but you rode upon a steamer to the violence of the sun.
Broadcasting live from the UN stronghold, Austin, Texas, you're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
And the colors of the sea bind your eyes with trembling mermaids, and you touch the distant beaches with tales of brave Ulysses.
All right, we're doing a simulcast, the Alex Jones Show, on radio stations across the country and the internet at Infowars.com/show, band.video, Real Alex on X, and Spaces on X. Talking about World War III, the NATO summit. How do we stop it? What's going to happen with Biden? They're now calling him the big boy, his own press corps, his own press secretary. Real quick before we go back to commenters, speakers. To me, that's major undermining them all, calling him big boy to his face.
Yeah, even what's his face? He's like, I guess that's what we're calling it, the big boy.
Kirby.
Yeah, Kirby was like, what? They're like, yeah, that's what we just said. It's focus group driven. That's what we're calling it. He was given the name to call the press conference before. Embarrassing.
Which means like a big boy, you know, is a 3-year-old.
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, they're really signaling to the establishment, we're not with Biden.
Yeah.
That's what that was about.
That's like, what I say to my 3-year-old when she does something good. I call her a big girl.
Oh, what's the Secretary of State Blinken up to? What's this?
Stronger than it's been, larger than it's been, and ready to deal with the challenges.
The ongoing NATO summit.
Jens, we've said it on a number of occasions, but especially here in Washington.
Stoltenberg.
On this anniversary.
I wonder if Blinken's going to play the guitar for us.
Leadership. Finally, I would just say that one of the reasons it's so important that we celebrate this anniversary, as well as prepare the alliance for the way forward, is because of what this alliance actually means to the people of all the countries who are members of NATO.
He's the guy that overthrew the Ukrainian government 11 years ago, started war with Russia, got Russia to come into a war.
After two world wars,
they're now losing. They want a new world war.
Came together, determined that we would not see yet another global conflagration,
which they're starting.
And one of the ways that they did that was coming together in a defensive alliance, NATO, 12 countries, 75 years ago. And the secret of NATO's success has been the commitment that those 12 countries made to each other, and that now 32 countries are making to each other. And that is an attack on one is an attack on all. The strongest possible deterrent to aggression.
Attack on one is attack on all. Article 5, so they say Ukraine's NATO, and now a Russian attack is attack on NATO. We're World War III.
They've got to take on all of them.
Yep.
That's why 75 years later, NATO has been the most successful defensive alliance in the history of the world, but also why it remains the critical alliance going forward, and why more countries have wanted to join.
That guy couldn't load a gun. He couldn't wipe his ass. He should tell us all about preventing wars. Yeah, the U.S. government.
People more safe and secure, so that they can go about doing everything.
More safe and secure. We're totally open borders.
Build strong, resilient countries with opportunity, with progress that's shared among all their people. Yes.
Lord Stoltenberg.
Thank you so much for hosting me and my delegation here again. And thank you for giving me some, what I say, basic advice about baseball yesterday. It was great to throw the first pitch, but I think I should focus on politics, not on baseball in the future. It's great to be here, not least because this week is an important week for NATO. We have our 75th anniversary summit here in Washington.
We started a major war with the Russians. It's going quite horribly.
leadership, your strong personal commitment to our alliance. This summit will be a
leadership,
summit of the most successful Iran's history, but we're also going to make important decisions for the future.
Now that it's July,
on the terms of defense, on Ukraine, on partnerships in the Asia Pacific. And of course, none of this would have been possible without the leadership of
without
the United
the leadership
States,
of America, World War III.
To ensure that we have now 32 allies.
Germany will finally win World War II. Our panzers are fighting the Russians now.
We will make decisions on Ukraine, and I think what we have seen over the last days demonstrates the need to step up our support for Ukraine. We have seen new Russian missile attacks against cities, against...
All we did was overthrow the government and attack the Russians. How dare them?
And it just demonstrates the brutality.
All Napoleon did was do that, and Hitler too.
And the importance
Hitler
of also,
good, Napoleon good.
Ukraine in upholding the right for self-defense. We will do more together on the terms of defense. Allies are stepping up when it comes to defense investments. 23 allies are investing more, or 2% at least, of their GDP on defense. This is twice as many as just 4 years ago. And then we'll further strengthen our partnership with the Asia-Pacific partners. So this is a busy week.
All right, that's enough. I can't hear anymore. Well, let's go back to speakers I've been holding patiently.
Let's go to the deep state target himself, George Papadopoulos. George, go ahead and unmute yourself and say what you have to say, sir, if you're still with us.
Oh, I'm here. Thanks, Alex and Chase, for having me. It's always great to hear your insights.
By the way, I didn't interrupt you. You've been holding for 20 minutes. We should explain you're patient zero of the Russia hoax, and you didn't bend to their lies. You didn't roll over and tell lies. So we're just continuing to live this lie. Continue, please.
No, Alex, you're absolutely right. Patient zero. And, you know, what we lived was basically an operation. See, the operation that started with me and others, including General Flynn, Roger Stone, Paul Manafort, in 2016 wasn't simply this run amok FBI investigation the way the mainstream media characterized it as, or even, you know, supporters of mine and others. There was an actual CIA operation that was launched in March of 2016 that went after myself, others, the Mossad was involved, the Five Eyes was involved, and this isn't conspiracy stuff. This was reported in the New York Post just 3 months ago.
No, you're totally vindicated. It's all mainstream news now.
Yeah, that's the key. So basically, that started. Now Trump's convicted, and we're on the path to the current topic, which is World War III. The same players that instigated that attempted coup did the Ukrainian coup in 2014, and now they're doing everything in their power to prevent the smooth transition of power to Trump's second term to get World War III ongoing. So I think what's going to happen is you're likely going to see black swan events. I know you've been talking about it a lot. The border's been wide open for months right now. You have a lot of these black arms from going shipping from Ukraine, Afghanistan, through that border, through all these various illegal migrants. And
for folks
saw,
that don't know, George, you're a smart guy, but not everybody's, you know, a national security expert like you. Black arms mean untraceable weapons.
Untraceable weapons, absolutely. Like black market arms, yeah. So what we're talking about were black market arms, untraceable weapons. $80 billion left to the Taliban. You have all of these untraceable arms in Ukraine while simultaneously the open border. And I'm just looking at what's happening with all these bizarre terrorist attacks that are ongoing in Russia, right? You have these low IQ Islamist terrorist guys that are just being, you know, pushed into, you know, killing people for absolutely no reason, going on these suicide missions while there's been absolutely no threat of radical Islamist extremism in Russia for at least 20 years.
And NATO said a year ago, since Russia's winning, we're going to hit them with asymmetrical warfare, Operation Gladio.
And this is what's going on. So when I'm looking at the totality of the situation, I'm just going to land here with the NATO.
No, don't end. Start over. I'm interrupting. I'm not trying to cut you off. I'll shut up. Go ahead.
No. It's just I'm just looking at the totality of the picture. With the coup ongoing against Biden, you have this civil war right now in the Democrat Party. You have Biden basically fighting for self-preservation. I think he certainly has something in Obama. That's why Obama is at least openly in his corner. And you have all of these various investigations going into the Biden family. He's not going to go down without a fight. People think, oh, he's senile. He's, you know, there's something mentally off about him. You know, when he's lucid, he's lucid. So
exactly.
I think
that's what Roger Stone this morning said. Listen, Biden, 18 hours out of the day is a vegetable, but he's still lucid at times. It makes this, he still has like the ring of Mordor. He's still able to make evil decisions.
No, and he absolutely does. And those evil decisions have absolutely all to do with keeping him and his family out of prison. The reason I think that Congress stopped all these various investigations, remember just it was a year ago that Jamie Comer was showing receipts about illegal payments from countries like China, Ukraine, Romania, all of that, you know, just miraculously stopped. And the reason I think it was because they want to make sure that Biden was going to be the nominee after the convention. Once the convention ends and Biden's officially there, they don't pull a switcheroo. I think all of these investigations are going to ramp up. I think they're going to have a lot of, you know, leaks from the White House, and they're just going to try and muscle them out. But between now and then, the situation that I'm focusing on right now is the security situation. And when situations like this are as unpredictable as they are domestically, that's when you see these black swan events. That's when terrorist attacks happen. That's why Trump himself just yesterday was saying it's likely a 100% chance we're going to have a massive terrorist attack in this country. And
yeah, he said that on Hannity last night. He said 100% terror attack.
Yeah, he absolutely said it because he was a commander in chief. He saw the classified information. He sees the situation with the border. He saw what happened with all of these arms shipments that we were just talking about from these various war zones. All of this in tandem are leading to one conclusion. There's going to be a major distraction here to deflect from all of the issues going on with Biden. And that is going to lead us to not only a domestic security crisis, but a global conflagration. So I'll land on that.
No, don't leave. George Papadopoulos, who was literally the first person other than Flynn, maybe the second, targeted. All of it came out wasn't true, not a Russian agent, none of that was going on. They tried to set him up. He didn't accept the deals. I had the feds approach me with Russian money, and it was the FBI, and I reported back to the FBI so they couldn't put me in prison. But this has been ongoing. Let's talk about Trump and just America and the sense of the world and NATO and just where you see the planet right now, George.
Yeah, I mean, the situation is that the world is shifting, right? You have the rise of the East and the decline of the West in many ways. And the decline of the West is intentional by the Democrats, and especially the extremists on the left. So you have the rise of the BRICS, which is this new basic geoeconomic order that you've talked about extensively, I know. You have the collapse of the U.S. dollar as the reserve currency. The petrodollar basically no longer exists. And the moment that the U.S. under Biden imposed these sanctions on Putin and the Russian government after they went into Ukraine to stop basically this pariah state on their border, that's when these countries like South Africa, Egypt, India, Iran, Ethiopia, China said if they could sanction and take away billions of dollars of reserves from Russia— because they didn't tow the line of the U.S. foreign policy establishment, they could do it to us. And that's exactly why.
But you hit on
a
key
now.
2 minutes ago. The left, with their cloud and pivot strategy to undermine and collapse American empire, they believe they'll give them control of the wreckage to rebuild it, build back better, Great Reset. They are doing everything politically to drive people out of the dollar.
That's exactly what's happening. They're doing it so intentionally, and we've seen this kind of restructuring of the world after World War II. And this is exactly why, should Trump get reelected, the first order of business he has to actually do is he has to take on the statesman approach, just the way right after World War II at Yalta happened. He has to sit down with the leaders of China and Russia and say, we need to redesign how we're all going to fit into this world. Because the way the world is currently, the U.S. economy is about to collapse, and these countries are about to abandon.
Exactly. The U.S. won't even have a seat at the table if we don't make a deal.
They won't. No, they absolutely won't. And the way things are going, if Biden gets reelected, the term between not having a seat at the table and total collapse is going to shorten absolutely dramatically.
And that's my next question. You're a smart guy. What happens if Biden's able to steal it and ensconce himself?
If Biden ends up stealing it, I think everything that he's talked about openly, and this is just quoting him, you had a quote about him just earlier, basically the great replacement theory is going to become a reality. It's not going to be a theory anymore. That's something that they've wanted for decades right now. I think you're going to basically have certain demographics in America replaced with illegals.
Yeah, if you think the border's open right now, you ain't seen nothing.
No, and that's why this is the existential threat of of today's election. It's the crisis in America. It's the lack of sovereignty, and it's the globalist agenda trying to usurp and replace sovereignty with foreign agendas. That's why so many people who are listening to this right now probably don't even recognize the America they live in. Certainly, it's not the America I grew up in. It's not the America you grew up in. And kids that are growing up today have actually seen their parents lose control of them and the state taking over control of how those children are raised and educated and actually becoming citizens of this country. So I think more and more this aggressive takeover of America, the usurping and replacing of its traditions, its cultures, its Judeo-Christian values is going to become the norm. And we're going to become so weakened from within, just like the ancient Roman orator Cicero said, that when you have enemies from within, the empire collapses much easier than having enemies from abroad. Then it's going to evolve into this new world order. America's not going to have a seat at the table. China's going to be the ultimate leader. And the way China governs its country, its people, and the world is not something I think wants to be imported here. But that's where we're going, Alex.
You know, I totally and completely agree with you. George Papadopoulos, any other key points you want to drop on folks?
I would just say, just watch this NATO summit very, very closely. What the Biden team and NATO has been trying to do for months now is to actually instigate a further conflict with Russia. Russia's not biting. This missile strike that happened just yesterday with this children's hospital, which is absolutely devastating and horrific, did not come from Russian missiles. It actually came from a Ukrainian missile. And there's just been so much disinformation regarding that conflict.
Ukraine got caught last year firing missiles into Poland, but the Polish missiles shot it down, so they got the tail numbers. And Zelensky said immediately, attack Russia. It turned out it was Ukrainian missiles.
Yeah, just always remember the playbook. When there's a crisis at home, rally the flag effect, find a crisis abroad. The only difference between what's happening usually back like with Bush, with the whole war on terror and what's going on right now is you have the collapse of Biden. You have a coup ongoing against him. You have a desperate man. And the only thing he's left with is a desperate strategy. So remember, we're probably going to face a crisis domestically, and we're going to see the conflict with Russia heat up. But hopefully Putin doesn't fall for it. But just watch very closely what NATO's up to now that they're all in Washington, D.C. So thanks so much for having me, Alex and Chase.
George Papa 19 on X. Thank you, George.
Appreciate it, guys. Thanks so much.
Thank you. You want to comment? You want to go to the next person?
Well, I will say that George was on the American Journal with me last winter when I was guest hosting for Harrison Smith in the morning show here on InfoWars. And George, if you're still with us, one of the things you said, first of all, you enlightened me as to the details of the IMEC corridor, which turned out to be really true. The second thing is you mentioned to keep my eyes on Africa, something that hadn't occurred to me at all. And what I noticed after you said that, following Secretary Blinken, is that there's report after report of Blinken meeting with African leader after African leader. And he's always talking about things like humanitarian crises in Africa and gay rights violations in Africa and encouraging Uganda and others to be more democratic. But then when you dig through and you look at reports, all of these African nations that Secretary Blinken has been visiting and their leaders have been visiting him here, all of them have been reported to be participating in a black market of uranium exports to Iran. Can you talk a little bit about why or how Africa plays into this World War III narrative?
Yeah, so as some of you know, that you know, Africa was basically carved up among major European powers, you know, at the end of the 19th century. So between, let's say, the UK, Italy had some colonies,
Belgium.
France... Belgium, France, obviously had, you know, a lot, the Netherlands. And basically what's happening is those countries rebelled, right? You had this decolonization effort in the 60s, the 70s, you have some remnants of influence, especially by the French and the British. And,
but now China is filling the void.
Exactly. So this is why it's getting very important now, because the African continent, and just one thing about about the African continent and NATO, you had the NATO Secretary General say this, or it was Blinken, I can't remember who was just saying it, but when you had the clip on, This is the greatest defensive alliance in history. We'll say that to Gaddafi. NATO went into Libya, absolutely destroyed that country, killed Gaddafi, because Gaddafi wanted to basically unify the entire continent around a new currency backed by gold. And that's open source information now. That's something that these countries have been attempting to get off of this European colonialist mentality. So what's happening now in Africa is the Chinese and the Russians are telling these African leaders, hey, we never were, you know, colonial masters of you. We don't care about changing your traditions and your cultures to make you import all of these bizarre agendas and Blinken and the Biden administration.
Which again,
and Obama,
so y'all know what you're about to say. Let me steal your thunder because I want to just impress people that we're on the same page. The main mission in Afghanistan was transgenderism, made the Afghans all turn against us. The U.S. goes in and says, we're going to cut your son's genitals off to Africans. They go, screw you. It's clear that Washington is driving the West out of Africa for China. Is that what you were about to say?
That's exactly what's going on, and is being replaced by Russia and by China. Now, why is this so important? You have Wagner Group operating all over the African continent right now. All of these, you know, these coups that happened recently, I think there was like 7 or 8 in Central Africa, mm-hmm. were all in order to get the French or American military out. These aren't simple, random events. They all had a specific...
But wait, I thought you're a Russian agent. Why are you against the U.S. being pushed out? I'm being sarcastic. Sorry, go ahead.
No, I'm not against that.
No, I'm being sarcastic,
trust me,
George.
I'm completely... Yeah, I know. So basically, Africa now is part of this new world, this new order that Russia and China are leading. The BRICS, there's a lot of gold there. There's a lot of natural resources there, a lot of oil. And all of these reserves are going to, one way or another, back this new currency, whether it comes out in a year or 5 years. Once that BRICS currency comes out and these countries are part of it, and they're away from France, the UK, Italy, the United States, and aligned with Chinese business and Russian business, that's going to accelerate the
that's right. So just like Saudi Arabia backed the dollar after Bretton Woods, now it's going to be Africa that's going to back the BRICS.
That's exactly what's going on, and that's why South Africa, which is the biggest economy or the second biggest economy in Africa, was one of actually the first countries that participated in BRICS, because they know that trillions of dollars in worthless fiat currency that we're just printing and printing and printing is just going to, you know, evaporate in any value. We're 34, 35 trillion in debt. It's backed by absolutely nothing up until we had the petrodollar. That's gone. So this new currency.
And our own government is working against the dollar and is securing. Like, how did China get 98% control of rare earth minerals? Because the West put laws in not letting Western companies explore it. In closing, George, you're a genius. You've quantified this so well. How do we stop this?
Yeah, you know, the worst thing that happened besides the trillion spent and the thousands of in deaths in Afghanistan is the American military muscle opened up the doors to the Chinese companies to go take over all those rare earth minerals that you're just talking about right now, Alex. So what really has to happen here, and I'm just going to just explain very, very easy, quickly, when Trump gets reelected, and I'm hoping he gets reelected, we get that Yalta number 2. He sits
George,
down
we
with
got
Putin
a quick break. We got to make this hard satellite break. Finish your point. But what George Papadopoulos is saying, stay there, don't go. We're back in just 3 minutes, is nailing it. He's nailing it. The United States went in for 20 years in Afghanistan to give Afghanistan to China for the lithium.
Police have tracked down a killer whose crimes spanned the country. The man accused of killing a Maryland mother of 5 on a popular hiking trail has been captured in Oklahoma. Rachel Marin was dragged from a hiking trail in Maryland where she was raped and murdered. Hernandez allegedly has ties to the notorious MS-13 gang and entered the country illegally in February of last year.
The sheriff says that he fled to the U.S. illegally after murdering a woman in El Salvador in January of 2023. Just 1 month before he entered the U.S. last year, Interpol issued an arrest warrant Pastor Hernandez.
We are 1,800 miles away from the southern border, and the American citizens are not safe because of failed immigration policies. This is the second time in just 2 years that an innocent Harford County woman has lost her life to a criminal in our country illegally.
As far as I'm concerned, the Biden administration has the blood of Rachel Warren in their hands.
Two officers were shot overnight. The suspect also shot in the exchange of gunfire.
Police also saying that suspect Bernardo Raul Castro Mata currently resides at a migrant shelter not too far away from here.
Christian Inga was arraigned today in New York City on charges of sexually assaulting a 13-year-old girl after school last week in a shocking daylight attack. Police say the 25-year-old migrant from Ecuador approached two teens in the park at knife point. According to the criminal complaint, the suspect tied the boy and girl to one another, gagged them, then raped the girl before fleeing the scene. Police say Inga entered the U.S. illegally through Eagle Pass, Texas, back in 2021.
We've also learned from law enforcement here in New York that Christian Ingalandi was actually ordered to go back to Ecuador just a year later in 2022. Had he been deported, we may not have this case that has really struck a chord with people here in New York City, but even people around the country.
A Venezuelan gang known as Tren de Aragua has victimized thousands through extortion, drug and human trafficking, kidnapping and murder. And now U.S. law enforcement, including Customs and Border Protection and the FBI, say the gang has made their way into the country.
U.S. Border Patrol Chief Jason Owens, who has confirmed multiple arrests of alleged Tren de Aragua members over the last year, issued a warning in early April after reporting yet another arrest. Watch out for this gang, he said. It is the most powerful in Venezuela, known for murder, drug trafficking, sex crimes, extortion, and other violent acts.
Today, an illegal immigrant who killed someone in Troy is set to be sentenced. Carlos Corrales Ramirez pleaded guilty to the deadly stabbing last month. He admitted to killing a man near River and Dow Streets last September. The Honduras native was also charged with a stabbing in Maryland last February. He was arrested for that crime, but was later released because Maryland officials never extradited him.
Eight individuals, all from the Central Asian country of Tajikistan, were arrested in Los Angeles, New York, and Philadelphia. They entered the United States this year and in 2023, crossing the Mexican border. They were vetted and allowed to remain in the country. CBS News has learned further investigation uncovered the men had possible ties to ISIS-K.
Five men in the U.S. illegally were arrested Monday morning in Northeast Missouri after a teenage girl was reported missing in Indiana. The suspects are accused of kidnapping the 14-year-old from her home. They were tracked down in Macon County. All five of these men are charged with second-degree kidnapping and first-degree endangering the welfare of a child.
Developments in the brutal abduction and murder of a 12-year-old Texas girl whose body was found dumped in a bayou. Police arrested 21-year-old Johan Jose Rangel Martinez and 26-year-old Franklin Jose Pena Ramos, both illegal migrants from Venezuela. Surveillance video appeared to show both men with the girl just hours before she was found dead. Both men have been charged with capital murder, critics blaming Jocelyn's death on President Biden's border policies.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones.
The program leftists failed to silence. It's the Alex Jones Show.
George Papadopoulos on the phone here, or via X Digital Connection on speakers. And then we'll go to other folks. We've got Liz Churchill. We got Matt Baker. A lot of great folks we're going to in a moment. But I held you over because you were making a really key point, which I was interrupting. And I don't do it to show that I know this stuff. I want to show folks we can finish each other's sentences because what we're saying is the truth. We didn't talk before you came on. We're just trying to tell people what's really going on. So, George, finish up your point.
No, Alex, you're absolutely right. It's because, you know, we have one thing in common. We want to see great things for America and its citizens. We don't want it to be taken over by a tyrannical
agenda that's being imported from abroad in this country. We don't want to see our traditions usurped and replaced. You know, that's, and I think that's exactly why we're able to finish each other's sentences, because we're just common sense people who are educated on these very important facts. So what I would just say is, you mentioned, so what are the next steps? It's very simple. If Trump gets reelected, the priority is sealing the border. Then you have to have a complete mass deportation effort to get rid of the millions or potentially hundreds of thousands of criminal elements from all around the world that have infiltrated this country. Once you have that done, you have to start figuring out how to repatriate various industries to assure that these are made-at-home products. We have to make deals with certain countries that do have these various rare earth minerals and reserves that we don't have at home, before China and Russia cover up the world. And the last thing that has to happen after we've done that, after we've taken care of the domestic situation, Trump has to sit down with both Putin and Xi at a summit where and when they decide to do it, and decide how we're going to carve up the world, how we're going to create a peace and international stability situation, and assure that we all have a seat at the table. And hopefully America has the biggest seat at the table, without the collapse of the U.S. dollar, without this resulting in endless wars, and without this creating the situation that we're facing today as a nation, domestically as and abroad, with the globalists and the Biden administration, who want nothing more and nothing less than to destroy America from within and to cause World War III abroad.
And I noticed when you've been on my shows, I guess, a few times, and on with other hosts, I watch you all the time, you're not a vindictive person. They tried to put you in prison. They lied about you. You don't talk about yourself. You don't talk about what you went through. You talk about saving America. But at the same time, I'm not a vindictive person. But if there's a rabid dog in my backyard, I'm going to have to deal with it. I don't want to deal with it. I'm sad it's got rabies. At least call animal control. I probably put it down myself. Trump has sat back and you know, Rubio said yesterday, Trump's not going to be vindictive against the deep state. It's not vindictive. They're right. They have a coup. They've been attacking us. They've got to go to jail. It's our duty, or we're complicit. So you're a victim of the system that survived, barely. What do you think Trump should do? I had a sneezing attack live on air. That's never happened in 30 years. Sorry, go ahead.
God bless. What I would say is, along with those priorities that I just described, equally as important is eviscerating the deep state in the United States. Because if you don't eviscerate the deep state and you don't put patriots at the top of these groups like the CIA, DNI, the FBI, and the Attorney General, meaning the Department of Justice, then Americans just won't have trust in the system. If we continue as a nation where I think the FBI now has a 15% approval rating by Republicans because of the self-inflicted wounds of what they did during Russiagate, the various indictments and the raid of Mar-a-Lago, then you have the January 6th situation and all the information that's come out of there, then it's not tenable. It's like if you don't have a border, you don't have sovereignty, then you don't have a country. It's like the same parallel.
George, you've nailed it. Just for the credibility, the FBI would have a 90% approval rating if Merrick Garland got arrested. I mean, exactly. It's our duty. It's got to happen. It's not like I'm a vindictive guy, but they're already gone full out attack. We have to put them in prison.
Well, here's the situation. I mean, it's either that these people get held accountable for what they've did, which are egregious crimes and against the American people and defrauding the U.S. government of rights and, you know, putting people in prison for absolutely no reason except, expressing their beliefs and supporting candidates that they don't like, then it's not sustainable. So what Trump really needs to do, and I've said this before, I'm going to say it right now, while Trump's VP pick is important, I think his attorney general is the most important cabinet member in modern American history. Who he chooses as his attorney general, whether it's a he or a she, that individual has to be two things: a patriot, a constitutionalist, and probably even more importantly than that, somebody with gumption and heavy stones,
guts,
to really a lot of guts to go and clean house from top to bottom. Because if they don't, Alex, and if they don't, we're going to have this weaponization of government targeting dissent writ large in America. It's not simply going to be conservatives. It's Catholics. It's school teachers. It's white Christian males. It's people that have, you know, who express the belief to have a 2A in America, a 1A in America. The list will continue to go on and on and on. And it has to be stopped now, because if it doesn't, as I explained earlier, America is not recognizable to me and others who are listening to this show right now. It's not even going to be something anybody will. Yeah, it's just going to be completely replaced with something foreign. And
America's and very existence is on the line. George Papadopoulos, join me as a guest about your book soon. In fact, guys, we can't contact him, get him on. George, thank you so much for the time.
Thank you so much for having me, guys. God bless.
Thank you. And I want to go a bunch of other commenters on X, but I want to just say this. Anybody that's ever been in a real fight where somebody attacks you for no reason, you're getting mugged, you're being beat up in a parking lot, when you really want to fight, it's not a mental thing. Because you know, mentally you decide to make a decision in your life, it's in your brain. And you really love a woman, it's in your heart. You feel the love of a woman in your heart. But when you decide to beat somebody's ass, like somebody just knocked you upside the head and your nose is broken and they're about to kill your ass, it's in the gut. It fires up like fire in the belly, and you're like, oh, that's like, it's in the gut. It's the fire in the belly, folks. And he just said that. We got to have the guts, Chase. We got to get the guts on fire.
Absolutely. You know, it's funny you mentioned that, because I've never been one to get in fights or anything like that. I've got a bleeding disorder. I always avoided that sort of thing. But one time when I lived in East Nashville, kind of a bad part of town, my first house, starter home, it was like midnight and my door didn't close all the way on the front door of my house, unless you deadbolted it, because the house was 100 years old and it was winter, so everything contracts. And somebody knocked on my door and the door flew open. And as somebody who's not particularly physically tough by any means, fire in my belly. I charged at the guy, and he was this giant black guy. He looked bigger than you, Alex, taller than me. I charged at him. He goes, I'm the guy who mows your lawn. I'm the guy who mows your lawn. He was just knocking on my door to ask me if I had any cash, because he just needed help. And I just saw a silhouette in the door. And it's true. We need to activate that quiet, sleeping giant within. We all have it, regardless of how tough we are, or smart we are, or talented we are. We all have some degree of it. And I think that's what it's going to take in order to face this giant in our door.
That's right. Let's go to the next person.
Liz Churchill. Liz, go ahead.
Good afternoon, everyone. Thanks for inviting me. I saw that you were talking about NATO, and I do actually think it's very important to view NATO as like a formal collection of all of the washouts and losers that are leftovers from each respective country's intelligence community. And it's created a Nazi Goliath that has effectively infiltrated every country in our world. And George Papadopoulos is absolutely right. This infiltration is going to be the absolute demise of America and every country in the world, because every country, as you're watching right now, and you know, if you pay attention to all, not just this issue that we're talking about, but the asymmetric issues and your southern border and the evident Soros cloud pivot strategy that you mentioned earlier. And it becomes really complicated because your FBI and DOJ have become Gestapos of the Democrat Party. And this is true. And again, if you go back to NATO, the only thing that I personally see NATO as is they're sex operatives, they're WEF Marxist criminals. And their goal ultimately is to implement World War III. George also made a really good point in regards to Africa. I don't know if Chase wants to extend on this, but you have to remember the Brzezinski family is heavily embedded in that continent, and they had a rather large monopoly on weapons, I believe, and other business transactions. And they have just pulled out of those and have joined the BRICS community. Mika Brzezinski, not going to lie, one of the ugliest communists you'll ever see on state TV. She's there for a purpose. And we know that...
Well, her father was the master engineer for 30 years.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's right. So, I mean, when you put all the puzzle pieces together, and I'm not even going to pretend to say it as well as George did, but this really is a communist takeover. And you have various factions of globalist entities around the world, NATO just being one of them. that are implementing.
Last one is question. What do you make of the obvious civil war in the deep state over Biden, him refusing to step down? You're a smart lady, Liz Churchill. Where do you think that goes?
Well, here's the problem. They're going to have to replace Biden because there's absolutely no path to victory. And in regards to how they're going to do that, that becomes very complicated because anybody that they put in his place, they need to ultimately escape months of vetting. And people like you, and I'm going to even say the Dilly Meme team, myself, that would absolutely annihilate their potential candidate to the point where no matter what they do, Trump has an ultimate path to victory. We can go on about how you were completely persecuted once you gave your support towards Trump, and they viewed you as a very valuable weapon that had to be dismantled at all costs because, again, they have to eliminate all paths to victory for Trump. And with Biden, again, we're dealing with a Biden crime family. I can talk forever on the Marco Polo, Hunter Biden laptop. The levels of criminality that you have witnessed from this particular family, what they have to do, first of all, is find a way to avoid any further prosecutions or jail time. They need some type of pardon. And I think that the only way that they would be able to garner said pardon would be if there's two paths to that. If Biden granted pardon to the Biden crime family members, and at the same time, he would also grant a pardon to Trump. And that would really spin things into a different direction. Other than that, I think that...
Well, I mean, I agree, but that's the delusion of the Biden crime family.
That's right.
I agree with you, Liz. They're not going to let Biden stay in. So the bigger question for this whole show should be, what are they going to do to remove him? Because I agree with you, or maybe you didn't say that. That's what I got from what you said. They're not going to let him stay there.
It will have to be a national tragedy because they ultimately need to use the sympathy card. And it would be like a multifactorial event that could ultimately also extend the upcoming election or postpone, just like the blueprint has been all over the world and the examples that we've seen with Zelensky in Ukraine. So I think that they have to replace him. They don't have a choice. And we all know that it wasn't Biden running any of the nightmares that you're witnessing in America today. We know that it is Barack Obama. And we know this because President Trump openly states this, has stated this multiple times on his True Social account. So with saying that, they need to put in somebody that will cover for all of the Democratic Party crimes and all of the crimes against humanity that they had committed during not just the COVID criminal industrial complex, but extending back to Russiagate and all of the treason that we witnessed President Trump endure during his time in office. And this really is probably the most treasonous event in our world's history.
Alongside the most murderous event
in medical history. So it's multifactorial. It's asymmetric warfare that is meant to demoralize you and really give you that feeling of despair. And again, we see it over and over when people say, well, I'm not even going to bother voting. And again, that's the type of warfare that is working and capturing the minds of people that feel so intimidated and upset with the current circumstances, not just locally, but globally, so that they fall into this pit of, it's listless unhappiness. And
no, you're right, Liz. Liz, great points. Thank you so much. Let's go to Matt Baker.
Absolutely. Matt Baker, go ahead. Matt, are you still with us?
Hey, thanks for having me. Just listening to Alex earlier talking about picking a side and I was saying, it says, people will always say, oh, that doesn't matter. This doesn't matter. No.
Matt, we're going to come back to you. Get to a better spot with your internet.
Yeah, sorry.
We're going to come back to you. You're breaking up. Go ahead.
Let's go to Nico, and then we'll go back to you, Matt. Nico, go ahead and unmute yourself and say what you have to say if you're still with us. All right. Looks like Nico's not there. Let's go to Luke McKee. Luke McKee, go ahead and unmute yourself and say what you have to say.
Okay.
Alex. How are you? I want to talk about a great disruptor to the New World Order event that happened in 2016, and that was WikiLeaks exposing spirit cooking and how the fight against the spirit cookers are not over. Aleister Crowley's cult, the Ordo Templi Orientis, is involved. And as an Australian, I really despise them because Australians are being sent directly to jail without appearing in court under blasphemy laws. Age newspaper, couple jailed for contempt in vilification case. And the High Court of Australia ruled this to be an extrajudicial kidnapping because only a court of state may extradite. So it's been
confirmed. That's right. And now Australia is trying to pass laws to put people in jail that criticize the government.
That's right, e-safety commission and all that. But what's happening in America and Arizona is the spirit cooking crew of Aleister Crowley, who called himself the Great Beast 666 when he was alive. He also called himself Baphomet XI, is before the courts. There's actually a character which is known to InfoWars because he gave Z Media his COVID conspiracy slash research on Bluetooth beyond the grave, Adam Smith. And he's been locked up as a complex case. His case was declared complex without his consent by a lawyer in Arizona who is very famous, who's in the Washington Post, Adam Zickerman, for saying it's religious persecution for Samuel Bateman to have been charged by the FBI for having sex with children and having 20 wives in the fundamentalist sect of the Church of Latter-day Saints. You can just Google Adam Zickerman on Daily Mail, all the world news for that. So that's not defamation. That's actual quote from the Washington Post. So that's
right, listen, I'm not trying to be mean. You're a very interesting sounding person. I'm having real trouble following Aleister Crowley, kids, whatever. Quantify what are you saying?
We've got the leak. What this guy Adam Smith is doing is he intends to introduce leaked training videos from the Ordo Templi Orientis from the global head of the cult, Freitas Siberius X, aka David Shriven. And he's got three videos online. They're on the pinned tweet of Stop Boy Lover. That's where a mirror of them is.
I'm trying to follow you. What's this have to do with Biden and NATO and World War III?
Well, as you know, if the Democrats get in, that's going to be very bad. And this is a huge scandal for the Democrats because they've been doing a lot of interference in Adam Smith's case. Everyone involved in the case has been paid off by Democrat grants, including the judge on the case involving Governor Hobbs. So this is a huge scandal. They're trying not to have the evidence go into court because it will take away the Ordo Templi Orientis' 501c3 by proving they have a doctrine of child abuse. It's an upgrade.
I got it. Okay, thank you. Back to Matt Baker, see if his phone works.
Okay, Matt, go ahead and try again, buddy. All right, looks like he's not there. Jack Tron, Jack, go ahead.
All right, thank you. Good to be here. I think for this week, when it comes to Biden, there's really three people that we need to be paying attention to, and that is David Axelrod, Mark Werner, and Jim Clyburn. So, David Axelrod.
I totally agree. All the key Democrat operatives say Biden must go. Keep going.
Yeah. So David Axelrod is basically the spokesperson for Obama. Him and Obama are tight, and I've heard this from people I consider very reliable. So really what he does is he says the things that Obama can't say out loud. Now, of course, Mark Werner is the biggest deep state goon in Congress. So really what he does is basically on behalf of the deep state. And Jim Clyburn is the one that really is in with connections to the donors. So those are the three people that you really need to be paying attention to this week. And I think also, and when it comes to this NATO conference, I think it's especially good to pay attention to certain people like Michael McFaul and maybe even Norm Eisen. Those are people that were very instrumental in the revolution of Ukraine in 2014, and Norm Eisen is very much key in the persecution against Trump. So I would say pay attention to those people.
So why do you think they want Biden to shut down? Because they know he's a joke. He's helping Trump. I mean.
That's a good question. I'm not necessarily sure if I can answer that, but I'm saying I think it's good to just pay attention to what they're doing because they're devious and they have a lot of influence.
Well, I think it's obvious Biden's a train wreck. It's going to help Trump get reelected in spades despite election fraud. But Biden is refusing to go like Roger Stone predicted 3 years ago. So this is spectacularly crazy. And it'd be extremely entertaining if it wasn't so dangerous.
No, I totally agree. I mean, Biden, it's been well documented that Biden thinks of himself as like the second coming of FDR, and that during the Obama administration, he thinks that the perceived success of the Obama administration was because of him. He's a sociopathic, narcissistic liar. That's who he is. So,
well, exactly. Say what you want about Obama. He did win and did get reelected and was popular. He was horrible, evil, but charismatic. Exactly. Biden the whole time thought he was the reason. Biden was a joke.
100%. Not only is it because he's too arrogant to drop out, it's also because Hunter won't let him drop out because he needs him to pardon him. And then, of course, Dr. Jill, who's fake doctor, won't let him drop out because once the second he does, she becomes irrelevant. And she's a power-craving narcissist just like her husband.
Well, that's right. I talked to Roger Stone this morning, who's on tomorrow at 11:30, first 30 minutes. He's on the second half of the first hour. He said, look, Biden can't go. He's facing all his criminal charges.
Yeah. So one of the things I thought was really interesting was how reluctant Axelrod was immediately after the debate to admit that Biden was a disaster. In Axelrod's case specifically, of all those people that we named, it seems to me as Obama's former campaign manager, as somebody who's obviously very close to the Biden administration, this is a person whose mind is always focused on who can win and how to win and who can win and how to win. I think in Axelrod's case, he has realized that Biden can't win. And I actually find that incredibly encouraging because if anybody is familiar with the extent to which the leftists can cheat in federal elections, David Axelrod would be among those people familiar with that. So if he's pulling the panic button on Biden, reluctantly admitting that this guy has to go because he can't win against Trump, then that proves to me that there's some semblance of election.
Sure. So what happens when Biden doesn't leave?
25th Amendment?
Yeah, they're going to remove him. That's my gut, is once they get in motion, none of their puppets want to get blamed or attacked by the Biden machine, but the Biden machine's getting smaller and weaker. But the levers have been flipped. The juggernaut is rolling forward. Biden goes. That's what I think.
I think so, too. The line seems to be breaking, too. You hear reports of staffers quitting and things like that, too. Everything's falling out from under him.
They're gonna, well, that's why they called him Big Boy on TV yesterday.
Yeah, I still can't.
Because that was the Pentagon spokesperson and the White House spokesperson attacking the president. They were signaling, hey, we ain't with this guy.
Unbelievable. I never could have even dreamed anything like this would even happen.
I thought it was the Twilight Zone when I saw it yesterday at 5 o'clock. I thought that's not real.
It's like House of Cards, Kevin Spacey level stuff.
There's like, well, he's going to be a big boy now. Yeah. Who's up next?
All right.
Well, we got to go to break. We'll do 5 more minutes. Hey, listen, InfoWarsStore.com. We're still here. The products are there. We're still on air. We had all sorts of deep state tricks to shut us down. God's in control. But if you don't support us, we'll shut down for sure. So it's like, if you think we're shut down and don't buy the products, we'll shut down because you believe they already beat us. They haven't beaten us. There's unbelievable behind-the-scenes stuff going on that I'm going to have to expose because I just got a rule. I just tell you what's going on. It's disgusting. It's insane. And I just can't do anything but tell the truth. So you don't want to miss tomorrow's show. But just go to InfoWarsStore.com. And there's a big 1776, the Spirit of 1776 sale, up to 60% off right now, InfoWarsStore.com. We'll come back, take a few more callers.
While other networks lie to you about what's happening now, InfoWars tells you the truth about what's happening next.
Back then.
Do you have a problem figuring out whether you're for me or Trump and you ain't black?
People always talk about how I don't have the black support. Come on, give me a break. Come with me. Watch. Watch.
I got a lot of that. I got hairy legs that turn that turn blonde in the sun. And the kids used to come up and reach in the pool and rub my leg down. So it was straight, and then watch the hair come back up again. They'd look at it. So I learned about roaches. I learned about kids jumping on my lap. And I love kids jumping on my lap. Do you have a problem figuring out whether you're for me or Trump and you ain't black?
I don't care if he's
pooped his pants.
My butt's too white. My butt's too white. My butt's too white.
I don't care if he can't put a sentence together.
The total initiative relative to what we're going to do with more Border Patrol and more asylum officers.
President Trump?
I really don't know what he said at the end of that sentence. I don't think he knows what he said either.
Show me he can't do the job, and then I'll say, okay, maybe it's time to go. Yeah, Biden had a bad day, but this guy couldn't tell the truth if it split his lip.
What did Trump do? Why?
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones